Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. Thanks, Mom. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the U.S. Bank shareholder meeting. It's great to be in Nashville, and even better, the Predators won. So let's give it up for that. Woo-hoo! Let me say, when we selected this location a year ago, we never thought that the hotel we would be in would be across the street from the overtime win of the Predators the night before the meeting. But we enjoyed every bit of celebration that occurred outside. I'm Richard Davis. I'm Executive Chairman of U.S. Bank, and I will be your host for today's shareholder meeting. On behalf of the Board of Directors and the Managing Committee, let me welcome you to Nashville, Tennessee. We have the opportunity to do two things today: preside over an official meeting of business, of the conduction of the shareholders, and then an update on the U.S. Bank story. So I'll draw your attention to the slides as we move through the morning. Today we'll be talking about some forward-looking statements, so this just gives us all the legal rights to talk about the future and to celebrate it at the same time. Before we begin, I'd like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, so please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please remain standing. I'd like to introduce Kimberly England. Kimberly is a senior branch manager here from Nashville. Kimberly, come on forward. Kimberly and I were together just last month. She's one of the top 1% of the managers in the United States, and we celebrated her at our top tier celebration just a couple of weeks ago in Florida. But today, she's here with the beautiful voice to give us a rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. Ladies and gentlemen, Kimberly English.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets ran glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the lands of the free and the home of the brave?
Please be seated. OMG, Kimberly. Oh my God, you're an amazing branch manager and you're a great singer, who knew? But this is where I really mean it. I want you to keep your day job. We can't afford to lose you, okay? So you're all ours, but congratulations and thank you, Kimberly England, for doing that for us. So ladies and gentlemen, as we proceed through the agenda of today's meeting, we'll have a call to order. We'll do a collection of the ballots and any final voting that might be necessary. Andy will provide us with a management report on the business of the company. We'll move to a question and answer session, and we'll meeting will adjourn exactly at noon so that we can move forward to some receptions, some other gatherings with customers and shareholders. So I'd like to first of all bring to your attention Laura Bednarski. Laura is our corporate secretary, deputy general counsel, and she'll be helping us with the procession of the official act of today's shareholder meeting. Laura, the floor is yours.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Richard. I have received an affidavit of mailing from Broadridge Financial Solution, which states that the notice of meeting and the accompanying proxy materials and annual report were mailed or made available on or about March 7th, 2017 to shareholders of record on February 21st, 2017, the record date for shareholders entitled to notice of the meeting, which is in accordance with our bylaws. The matters requiring a vote by the shareholders are discussed in our proxy statement, and additional copies of the proxy statement are available from the ushers if you'd like to see one now. Our Inspector of Elections, a representative from Broadridge Financial Solutions, is present at this meeting and has reported that we have received proxies representing a substantial majority of our voting stock, which represents a quorum for the meeting. The company received one shareholder proposal that is included in the proxy statement. If the sponsor of the proposal seeking the adoption of a policy that the chairman of the board be an independent director is present, I will recognize him or his representative to briefly present the proposal.
Please step forward at this time. Respecting Mr. Tepper, please, the microphone right behind you, if you wouldn't mind. We are.
Yes.
But we need you to step over to the microphone right there in the aisle. So if someone could guide him to that. Okay, we surprised you with the timing. Mark, can you make sure that he is directed to the microphone? Laura, do you want to move forward and we'll come back and capture that while he looks for his notes? Can you wing that?
Yes, one thing we could handle is if anyone is going to want to vote at this meeting and you need a ballot in order to either vote now or to change a vote that you previously
gave. Raise your hand and the
ushers will bring
a ballot.
And we can distribute a ballot at this time.
Does anyone need a ballot?
No one.
Do we have one? Well, that's our most organized shareholder group in history.
We've never had that.
Mr. Tepper, are you ready? Thank you, Mark.
I wasn't expecting proposal number 5 to be number 1 on the agenda. It's set forth in the proxy statement, or at least the beginning of it. On page 67 of the proxy statement, and I've been asked by Mr. Armstrong to read it, even though it speaks for itself as set forth in the proxy statement. Mr. Armstrong is the owner of 7,276 shares of common stock, and he has submitted as follows: that the shareholders of U.S. Bank Corp. request its board of directors to adopt a policy and amend the bylaws as necessary to require the chairman of the board of directors be an independent member of the board of directors. The policy should not be implemented to violate any contractual obligation and should specify A, how to select a new independent chairman, as quote-unquote independent chairman, if the current chairman ceases to be independent during the time between the annual meetings of the shareholders, and B, that compliance is excused if no independent director is available and willing to serve as chair. Continuing on, page 69, the reasons given by the proponent for the resolution are U.S. Bank Corp. and Wells Fargo and Company opposed this proposal of the proponent many times in the past annual meetings. In the fall of 2016, after Wells Fargo and Company admitted its several problems, it abandoned the dual role of one person serving as the chairman of the board while being chief executive officer and appointed a quote-unquote independent chairman and quote-unquote independent vice chairman of the board. Obviously, the board finally realized the seriousness of the issues and the impact of its paying $210 million in fines. More recently, it increased high-end estimates of reasonably possible potential litigation losses to $1,700,000,000. The proposal's proponent is a longtime shareholder of U.S. Bank Corp. and was responsible for its elimination of classified three-year terms for directors and supermajority voting requirements, and gained a policy prohibiting officers and directors from pledging the U.S. Bancorp shares as collateral. He is familiar with U.S. Bancorp's problems, which originated under an administration where one person served as chairman and CEO and was accountable only to himself. The shareholders' dividends remain reduced by 34.11%. DuPont's failures were placed upon its board chair and CEO, who was ousted by the board in the same manner as the Target Corporation board ousted its chairman and CEO a year earlier. Studies have confirmed that underperforming companies lack an independent chair, and companies worldwide are routinely separating the positions of chairman and CEO. CEO succession 2000 to 2009, a decision of Convergence and Compersion, Booz and Company, summer 2010. Norges Bank Investment Management has stated in support of a similar proposal. The roles of the chairman of the board and CEO are fundamentally different and should not be held by the same person. There should be a clear division of responsibilities between these positions to ensure a balance of power and authority of the board. If you agree, please vote for the proposal. Now, Mr. Armstrong has asked me to provide some additional comments.
Mr. Tepper, I'm going to ask you to hold those until the Q&A session. I'll let you go first. But at this point, we need to stop at the proxy action so that we can proceed with the formal business of the meeting. Thank you. Laura?
All right. Thank you, Mr. Tepper. I refer you to the company's response to this shareholder proposal that is included in our proxy statement. The time is 11:12 a.m. and the polls are open for all matters, and we will consider the five proposals before us. The first proposal is the election of 15 directors whose names and qualifications are listed in the proxy statement. Each of our directors has been nominated to serve as a director of the company for a one-year term ending at the annual meeting in 2018. The second proposal is ratification of the selection of Ernst & Young LLP as the independent auditors for the company for the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2017. The third proposal is the advisory approval of the compensation of our executives as described in the proxy statement. The fourth proposal is the advisory vote on the frequency of future advisory votes on executive compensation. And the fifth proposal is the shareholder proposal just discussed. If you're voting today, well, you're not voting today, so we'll move on. It's now 11:12, and the polls for voting on the matters are now closed. The company has already received proxies sufficient to elect all 15 director nominees, ratify the appointment of the auditors, give advisory approval of our executive compensation program, approve a one-year frequency of future advisory votes on executive compensation, and defeat the shareholder proposal seeking the adoption of a policy requiring that the chairman of the board be an independent director. If the votes collected today result in a different outcome on any proposal, which they won't because there weren't any, we will inform you. The final voting results will be published in a current report on Form 8K, which we will file within 4 business days. The results will also be available from our Investor Relations Department. Richard?
Thank you, Laura. That concludes the formal portion of our meeting. It's now my pleasure to launch us into the business of the bank, and we'll start by looking at this very brief video. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your company. I could not be more proud to be the executive chairman, and today I have the privilege of announcing to you our new CEO. As the transition has been thoughtful and transparent, we've moved toward this day for a couple of years. On behalf of the board of directors and the senior managers, let me tell you how proud we are to introduce to you the new CEO of U.S. Bank, Andy Cecere.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about our performance in 2016 and tell you where our future strategies and focus areas are for continued growth. And let me start by also welcoming you to Nashville. We actually began our presence in Nashville in 1934. Nashville City Bank was the fourth bank in Nashville, and that became First Star in 2000 and later changed its name to U.S. Bank in 2002. We operate 102 branches in the state of Tennessee and have over 2,140 employees. And I want to tell you, I am a huge country music fan, so this is my first time here, and it's exceeded all my expectations. And I also want to tell you, I know our board and the managing committee, after spending 2 days here, they're also country music fans, so thank you for that. With regard to the city of Nashville, we have 465 employees, and we're proud of the customers and partnerships we have in this market. And I also want to give a shout out to the Predators, and I want to tell you how hard that is coming for me, a Chicago native and lifelong Blackhawk fan. So. But I know where my audience is, okay. So let me talk also about the Nashville Advisory Board who are here with us today. I'd like to have you stand as I introduce you. Hiram Cox, Danny Heron, Tanya Jones, Ann Russell, David Ward, and Don Williamson. Advisory boards were, thank you. Advisory boards were created to show our commitment to the community. These influential leaders help us really represent U.S. Bank in the community and are advocates for us in the marketplace. This board was formed in 2001, and two of the original members, Ann Russell and Tonya Jones, are still serving on the board to this day. So thank you for your service. Next, I want to talk about volunteerism in the city, in the state of Tennessee. It's only appropriate being the volunteer state. But first, I want to introduce Ward Wilson. I forgot Ward Wilson, who was our great host for us last night. Our market president is the face of the community for our bank. He not only manages all the business lines and employees, he really is our advocate in the marketplace. And you can see from this, he's been in our company market president since 2005. He has over 34 years of experience and has been a wonderful member of the Nashville community for all those years. Ward, I want to thank you for hosting us the last few days. I want to thank you for last night, and thank you for all you do in Nashville. Thank you, Ward. Now let me talk about volunteerism in the state of volunteerism. Our employees in the state of Tennessee provided over 6,700 hours of volunteerism for groups like Junior Achievement, United Way, Habitat for Humanity, and the Boys and Girls Club. In addition, our U.S. Bank Foundation contributed over $250,000 to over 63 organizations in the state. This is a very important mission for us, and we continue to do this across the community, particularly in Tennessee and Nashville. Another high commitment for us is honoring those who serve. We are very committed to supporting veterans and former current military members in our community. In fact, we have over 2,000 employees who are former or current military members, and some of them are with us here today, and I'd like to recognize them. As I honor your branch of the service, please stand. United States Army, United States Army Reserve, and Army National Guard. United States Air Force, United States Air Force Reserve, United States Air National Guard. United States Navy, United States Navy Reserve, and United States Marine Corps. I'd also like to ask anyone else in the audience who has served our country to please stand and be recognized. Thank you all for your service. I have to tell you, one of the best parts of my job as president was visiting the markets and talking to employees who have made U.S. Bank their career. They are what differentiate us. They are what make us a great company, and a lot of them are here today, and I want to honor the years of service. First, I'd ask all the employees who've been here 25 years or longer to please stand and be recognized. Thank you. 30, 35 years, and 40 years, please stand and be recognized. Thank you all for your service. Now we have two very special guests with us today. First, I want to ask Mary Baggett to stand up. I saw Mary in the hall. She did not have a name tag on. And I walked up to her. I said, "Hi, Mary." She said, "How did you know my name?" Well, I had your picture, so I cheated a bit. Mary's been with us for 45 years, works at the Clarksville Madison Street branch, and thank you so much for your 45 years of service. Thank you. And my special friend, Gwen Holland. Gwen, please stand. Gwen has been with us 63 years. Mm-hmm. Gwen has been a teller at the Descartes branch for a long, long time. And Gwen, I've been here 32 years, and I thought I've been here a long time. I'm only halfway there, so. And I have a special story about Gwen. In 2013, our company celebrated its 150th year anniversary, and because of that, we were able to ring the closing bell. And of all the 70,000 plus employees, we chose Gwen to ring the bell for us. And she did a wonderful job. It was an exciting moment for all of us. And Gwen, now you probably don't know this, but we also closed at a record high that day, so thank you. Another priority for our company is diversity. We focus on diversity throughout the company from an employee base right up through the board. And in fact, we were recognized as one of 29 Fortune 500 companies by the Deloitte Alliance for Board Diversity as having the best diversity on the board. We're proud of this best in class diversity. It represents our marketplace, our customers, and our employees the best, and it starts with the board. And I'd like to introduce the board of directors who are with us here today. Let me start with our lead director, David O'Malley, retired chairman, president, and CEO of Ohio National. Myself, Richard Davis, our executive chairman. Karen Lynch, president of Aetna. Warner Baxter, chairman, president, and CEO of Ameren. Olivia Kirtley, business consultant. Doug Baker, chairman and CEO of Ecolab. Roland Hernandez, founding principal and CEO, Hernandez Media Ventures. Dr. Odell Owens, president and CEO, Interact for Health. Art Collins, retired chairman and CEO, Medtronic. Scott Wine, chairman and CEO, Polaris Industries. Kimberly Harris, president and CEO, Pugin Energy. Doreen Wu Ho, commissioner, San Francisco Port Commission. Craig Schnuck, former chairman and CEO, Schnuck Markets. And Mark Casper, president and CEO of Thermo Fisher Scientific. I'm going to talk to you about our performance later, but it all starts with direction from the board, and I believe that we have the very best board in banking. So thank you for your service, thank you for your support, and thank you for all you do. Also with us today are the managing committee. These 14 individuals lead our 73,000 employees. They lead the business lines, all the operational areas, all the technology. Everything we do comes through these individuals. I'd like them to be stand and be recognized also. They are also the very best in the business. Please stand. So I introduced the board, some long-term employees, our managing committee, and all those individuals, in addition to the 73,000 other employees of U.S. Bank, are what drive our results. They are key to our success, and I want to talk about our results in 2016. 2016 was an interesting year from an economic perspective. Low interest rate, an uncertain economy, and in the face of some of those headwinds, we earned $5.9 billion, a record. We were able to return $3.24 per diluted share to our shareholders, also a record, and return 79% of our earnings through the combination of dividends and buybacks. Again, a huge accomplishment in a very challenging year. As we think about our performance sort of on a scorecard, this is our report card. We compare ourselves to the top 10 banks in the country. And across those metrics of return on equity, return on assets, and efficiency ratio, the three key ratios in banking, we were number one. And you can see from this slide, we were number one by quite a bit. And this was not the only year. If I look at the last 10 years, this slide would look exactly the same with us being number one across the board against all large banks in the United States. As impressive as our debt rating. Moody's, Fitch, S&P, and DBRS are debt rating companies. They are complete insiders to ourselves and all banks in the United States. They have all the information available to them to make a judgment on who the safest bank in the country is. And they've determined that it is us. Across the board, we are their number one ranked bank in the country. And I will also tell you with Moody's and Fitch, we are their number one bank in the world. This is quite an accomplishment and offers us a huge competitive advantage, both from perspective of pricing, but more importantly, safety and soundness. And then finally, Fortune magazine ranked us as the number one Super Regional Bank for the seventh year in a row. Quite an accomplishment. And they also recognize us as one of the 40 best companies to work for in financial services. But I have to tell you, even more impressive than that is this next chart. Fortune ranks over 680 companies across a number of attributes. And U.S. Bank was top 10 in four of those attributes, against some very impressive companies that you can see on the list. We were number three in management quality, number two in value as a long-term investment, number two in terms of use of corporate assets, and number six in terms of financial soundness. No other bank in the country made it on this top 10 list. And we were in the top 10 in four categories. Very impressive, again, a reflection of all the hard work our employees, managing committee, and board perform. The way we get to these results is through a strategy. And it's a pretty simple strategy. It's compounded by three simple components. First of all, we want to be the most trusted choice. Second of all, we strive to get better every day. And thirdly, we want to unify the customer experience. We want to have a consistent experience for all our customers. And all those three components are centered around growth and performing for our shareholders, our communities, our employees, and everything that we do is focused on this. I'm going to hit on these a little bit more and talk about them individually. The first one is being the most trusted choice. It's about providing stability, security, and being responsible and ethical. If you think about it from a bank perspective, that's hugely important. And we really represent that, and it's a significant competitive advantage for us. In 2017, Ethisphere named us one of the most ethical companies in the world for the third year in a row. And we are the largest bank to ever make this list. This is a great example of our core values coming to life. We talk about, first and foremost, doing the right thing. That's what this Ethisphere Award is all about, doing the right thing. We also do the right thing from a perspective of how we invest. Being the most trusted choice is seen in that way, too. For instance, you'll see how we invest in $4.7 billion in community development projects. I also want to let you know that we received an outstanding rating across each of our 39 CRA geographies. And finally, our employees logged 220,000 volunteer hours serving communities across our footprint, a lot of those low-income and moderate-income areas. So it's a huge focus for us, one we're very focused on because we believe by making our communities better, we're going to make our company better and the shareholders will reward also. So it's a tremendous focus for us. One of the examples of this was a really interesting and fun item that we did in 2016, the Community Possible Relay. It was our signature event. We introduced this program, in fact, last year at the shareholders meeting that we had a year ago. We traveled 13,485 miles across 25 states. And reached over 177,000 individuals, logging over 120,000 volunteer hours. It was a fantastic experience for everyone, including the two individuals who were on the bus for all those miles. And the Community Possible Relay was actually recognized as one of the top employee volunteer programs in 2016. We're going to do it again. Community Possible Relay 2.0 is going to start in 17, and I'm announcing it today. And it's going to be even better than what we did last year. It's going to focus on play it forward, so to speak, encouraging our employees to do things in their community to make it even better from a play perspective. You'll hear more about this in the next year when I come back and talk to you about the great accomplishment it was. And finally, we believe it's important to us to serve all customers. And we're constantly looking for ways to do that. We have a couple of examples in 2016 I want to talk about. The first is a safe debit product. It's for those just entering the banking system. It's a no overdraft, complete services, electronic banking, no cash checking fees for those entering the banking system so that they can begin to fill out their financial needs and have a trusted bank behind them. We also have the American Dream Home product, which is for low and moderate income individuals who don't have a complete down payment capability, but we're able to get them into dream of home ownership. And finally, the other thing that we're very committed to is in financial education. If you think about it, as a bank, that's what we should be doing. And that's what we are doing. We actually spent more than 46,000 hours providing financial education to 500,000 customers and community members in the states that we serve. Again, it's a focus for us because we want to make our communities even better because of our presence. These are all examples of being the most trusted choice. The second component of that strategy that I talked about is about getting better every day. And we look across our enterprise to get better across many areas, but I'm going to focus on three today: the environment, our employees, and diversity and inclusion. And let me start with the environment. It's embedded in our culture and part of how we do business. It is a focus for us. We've implemented a continuous improvement policy to protect and conserve our natural resources. We've developed new business practices, we've embraced opportunities for new products and services, and we've adopting new perspectives, such as investing in renewable energy. In fact, we've invested $2.6 billion in beneficial opportunities across our community. We've set greenhouse gas emission targets, and most importantly, in 2016, we were recognized with an A-minus grade by CDP, a leading third-party environmental group. It's an area we're focused on, and we're making great progress, and we have great accomplishments. At this time, because we're talking about the environment, I want to talk about the Dakota Access Pipeline specifically. I want to emphasize three things. Number one, we do not finance the Dakota Access Pipeline. Secondly, we and 25 other banks do provide a general line of credit to ETP Energy Transfer Partners, and we're obligated to fulfill that contract and commitment. And thirdly, we continually look at our policies and procedures. And just yesterday, we updated our environmental responsibility policy to say that we do not finance construction of oil or natural gas pipelines. So this is a focus area for us. It's something that we recognize the importance of, but we have to fulfill our requirement in terms of our contract with ETP. And finally, community social responsibility report. Next week, we'll publish this report. It's a report that highlights all the good things that we do in our community, our employees, for the benefit of our communities across the board. It's a huge area of opportunity and focus for us, and one we'll continue to focus on. But let me start talking about what I think is the most important attribute and one of the most important focus areas of our company, and that's the employees. Now, I talked about the performance that we had. I talked about the guidance of the board. I talked about the leadership of the managing committee. But when you come down to it, the reason we're the best bank in the country is because of our employees. And we recognize that, Richard recognizes that, the board recognizes it, as does the managing committee. It's something that we're very proud of because we've turned the triangle upside down from the shareholder on top to the employee on top, under the belief that if we have engaged, positive employees, we'll have satisfied, happy customers, which will lead to positive shareholder value. That's the way we think about it, and that's the way we've really designed all our processes and the way we think about leading the company. One of the things we do every year for the past 10 years, and in fact we'll start again tomorrow for the 11th year in a row, is do a survey, listening to our employees about what they have to say. I want to tell you that the results from this survey is something we take very seriously and something we're also very proud of. Last year, 88% of our employees responded to the survey. And what did they say? They said, we believe in this company, we believe in their contribution, that their contributions are valued, we believe that we're operating ethically, we believe in our vision and values, and importantly, we believe that we're being heard and valued. Our scores across the board, not just in banking, but across all industries, were top quartile. We spend a lot of time on this, we focus on this, and we listen to our employees and we act on it by doing a lot of things. Now, I can tell you about how employees feel about you working at U.S. Bank, but I think it'd be better coming from them directly.
U.S. Bank takes potential in someone and makes you want to grow it.
Your supervisor is here to help you, you know, and all up the chain.
The opportunities are endless. You just have to make sure that you explore the opportunities.
There's so many opportunities. It's like, I can go here, I can go here, I can go here, I can go here.
Who knows where I'm going to be in 5 to 10 years, but I honestly think that it will be at the bank.
I like how people are valued.
They're a leadership that really values each employee within the bank, and whatever you do, whether you're entry level, you're really high up in the company.
U.S. Bank just sets itself apart from most companies because they value each and every last one of their employees, and they show it.
The driving force behind the atmosphere is the people.
When you're recognized for the work that you do, you're inspired to do better.
It feels good to be recognized by your employer to say, you know, you're doing a really good job.
The company's core values speak directly to me in what I want to try to do every day and to help people.
We put people first. That's what we're here for. That is what we do.
U.S. Bank really does the right thing for their employees and their customers.
It's a company that is devoted to helping people, both its customers, and its employees.
This company takes very good care of you if you're doing the right thing.
I feel good because I work for that company.
Now you see why visiting with employees is the best part of my job. Aren't they great? So we do listen to the employees, and we continue to make changes because of what they're telling us. For example, last year we enhanced our benefits programs to include new sick and safe leave policies. We enhanced our maternity, short-term disability, parental leave, and adoption policies. We've improved our compensation components, and we continue to invest in technology for the benefit of our employees, giving them the best tools and technology so they can do their best job possible. It is a focus area for us, and I will tell you, it will continue to be under my leadership. Another area of focus that I talked about was diversity and inclusion. It's something we're very proud of. Over 60% of our workforce is women, best in class. We hired 500 new service military members last year. As I told you, it's an area of focus for us. But diversity reaches just beyond the employee base. Last year alone, we spent over $400 million in diverse suppliers. It's an area of focus across the company in every single area. One example of this is our business resource group. This is a group that was created a few years ago, 5 years ago, to bring together employees who have similar backgrounds, experiences, and interests. We currently have 6, the African American, Asian Heritage, Nosotros Latino, Proud to Serve, Spectrum LGBT, and US Bank Women. And we're excited to add another this year, the Native American Business Resource Group. In 2016, 10,000 of our employees participated in this, and that was up 221%. So I can tell you it's a priority for our employees and something we're very focused on. Now let me spend a minute, and I want to tell you this is a surprise, so I'm doing this at some risk to Richard. Yeah, it's a surprise. And you don't know how hard this was to make a surprise. So look, we talk about our core values. We talk about our mission, our focus on the employees. And I want to tell you it starts with Richard's leadership over the last 10 years. So we try to figure out a way to continue his legacy at our company. And what we thought about was this that I'm going to talk about, which is the Richard K. Davis Development Network of the Year. Richard started the Development Network in 1997, 20 years ago, with a small group of employees in Cincinnati. And it was all about the employee. It was about the development of the employee, the career of the employee, and how the employee connects to the community. And today we have over 59 chapters, and it's one of the most important attributes of our company, and one that will continue on forever. And in honor of Richard and his creation of this, we decided to name this the Richard K. Davis Chapter of the Year. And I want to congratulate you on this. Thank you, Richard, for all you did. All right, let me wrap it up by talking about the unified customer experience. And this is one that also deserves a lot of focus, because if you think about a bank has many products and services and components. But what we want to do, what we want to strive to make sure is that we make it simple, clear, and consistent from the perspective of the customer. So what this is about is really delivering the bank from the eyes of the customer. If you think about all the businesses, products, and services that we can deliver to you, we want to put you in the middle and think about how we can help you achieve your financial dreams and goals. That's what unified customer experience is about. I have a number of examples I could talk about, but things like next generation banking. How do customers interact with the bank across all channels, be it the bank, ATM, telephone, mobile, online? Make it seamless and consistent. You can start in one channel and in another. It's an area of focus and one we're investing in terms of technology. Secondly is our contact centers. We have a number of contact centers or call centers throughout the enterprise. We're trying to make the ability to serve your needs even better by being more consistent in the way we're approaching your calls and your inquiries and your requirements and requests from us. And then finally, relationship management. We have a lot of data, and our objective is to use that data to offer you the very best products and services that we can. We have a lot of financial activities within the company, a lot of financial products and services. This is about using that data to benefit our customers. It's an area of focus. And let me give you a couple of specific examples. In the next couple of months, you're going to hear more about Zelle. Zelle is an example of how we're delivering a unified customer experience. You're going to be able to transfer money real time to almost everyone with just their phone number or email. It's going to be immediate. It's going to be fast. You'll be able to do it from your US Bank app or from a Zelle standalone app. We're going to be one of the first banks in the country to offer this service, and it's another example how we're staying a step ahead in terms of providing you the very best technology as soon as it's available. Another example is if Zelle is offense, geolocation is defense. How many of you have traveled overseas and forgot to call your bank and tell them that you're overseas and your credit card transaction was denied? This is a tool that would allow you to be where your phone is, and we'll know where your phone is, we'll assume you are with your phone, and you don't have to call the bank because it'll say you're there and we know the transaction's good. And you can turn this on and off as you wish. It's going to be something that's in the hands of our customers, but also offer a great convenience. So it is a new era. Anything is possible. The world of banking is changing rapidly. It is changing. I tell people all the time, in the 32 years I've been at the U.S. Bank, more has been changing in the last 18 months than the 31 years before. It is an incredible pace of change. But I want to also tell you that we're very focused on it. We're focused on technology, we're focused on innovation, and we're focused on it from the perspective of the customer, trying to provide the very best products and services for all of your benefit. So, as we conclude, I may be biased, I'm certain I'm biased, but I do believe U.S. Bank is the very best bank in the country. I believe we have the best board, managing committee, and employee base in the company. I want to particularly thank Richard for his last 10 years of leadership to get us there, and I want to let you know that I'm both honored to take on this role and committed to continue the success that we've enjoyed. Thank you so much for your applause, your attention, and your applause.